The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Inspiring interviews with today's top landlords.
This is the Rental Income Podcast.
And now, Dan Lane.
My guest on the podcast today has a pretty interesting story. When he first started investing in rental properties, what he thought he wanted was a couple of rental properties that he owned free and clear. Once he got those properties, he realized that that really wasn't what he wanted. What he wanted was a portfolio of rental properties, and he wasn't going to be able to get that unless he used mortgages and borrowed money to buy more rental properties. So he made some changes, and today he's got mortgages on his properties. But an interesting thing happened. Having mortgages actually made him a better landlord and a better investor. And we've got a lot of great information we're going to learn from him today. Joining us on the show today from Berkeley Springs, West Virginia, is Chris Hadelman. We'll take a really quick break. We'll thank our sponsors. We'll come right back and we'll talk to Chris. The first step in buying a rental property is to get pre-qualified. And I would suggest you work with a lender that specializes in working with investors, because the last thing you want to have happen is to get to closing and find out the money's not there and you can't close. The lender that I recommend is Chaley Ridge from Ridge Lending Group. She's a nationwide lender, and she'll pre-qualify you for free if you mention Rental Income Podcast. Find out more today. Contact Chaley at ridgelendinggroup.com. That's R-I-D-G-E, lendinggroup.com. NMLS 42056. When I'm doing research to buy a new rental property, there's a lot of different websites, apps, and then a spreadsheet that I use to do my analysis. It's really kind of a convoluted process. Well, there's a much easier way. There's an app called Ask Rick. That's R-I-C for Rental Income Calculator. Ask Rick makes it really easy to find and analyze rental properties. You can see all the properties for sale in an area. If something looks good, you can press one button. It'll analyze the property for you. It'll figure out the rent amount. It'll figure out your mortgage payment, all your expenses, and give you your cash flow. If you're ready to move forward, you can make an offer right there on the app, or you can send the information over to your realtor to do some more investigation into the property. You can try it out for free right now. Just search for Ask Rick. That's R-I-C, Ask Rick, in the App Store, or go to justaskrick.com. That's justaskrick.com. When you were first getting started buying rental properties, you were using cash to buy properties. And so I want to kind of start off by going back to looking at your thinking back then. Why did you want to use cash to buy your rentals?
I wanted to use cash because I had it. It seemed like a good return on investment. And if I had them on, they were paid off, nobody could take them from me.
Yeah, it's a lot less risky. So what were your initial goals? Like, so you had some cash, and I guess just so everybody knows, you had sold a family business, and you had some money. So what were you trying to replace your salary from the family business?
Yeah, exactly. I was trying to replace my salary, and I was trying to kind of develop a new job for myself.
Okay. So you bought a couple of properties. You get them running. Did everything go according to plan at the beginning? Like, did everything go smoothly?
The first tenant that we had, for the very first house we bought, we had to file for an eviction for non-payment of rent. Our third property, but they had absolutely trashed the place.
Now, when you're getting started and you have experiences like that, you know, I think a lot of people might just have the tendency to say, this is crazy. This is what people told me was going to happen if I bought rental properties. Did you ever have any doubt that maybe you had made the wrong decision by investing?
Yeah, I mean, you know, when you're at the heat of the moment, and you know, it can seem so overwhelming. Well, long story short is we ended up, you know, putting it on the market, but we eventually sold it, and then we had to deal with a bunch of capital gains.
Wow. Well, that's a good problem to have, right? That's
I do that all day long.
Yeah.
But that one just had a lot of emotional baggage with it, because when you have a house that's you know, was move-in ready when you bought it, and it is utterly trashed, it drains you when you go to
fix
it up.
Sure.
And it was so freeing when when we went to closing and got rid of that.
I bet. So let's talk about growing your portfolio. So you get those first three properties free and clear, and then you started using mortgages to buy properties. Why did you switch over?
Just to be able to continue to grow.
Okay.
And you know, along the way, we had ran into some stuff that we could get owner financed, and that was probably our lead in to the to financing stuff. It was one of those you know, deals you just kind of stumble into, and you know, once you do, it's like anything else. Once you do your first one, it's not that scary.
Right. Okay. So the switching over to using financing wasn't necessarily that you think owning a free and clear rental is bad. It was more that you wanted to continue to grow. You wanted to continue to buy more rentals, and you didn't have the cash to buy them outright.
Oh, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay.
But now, after I've kind of learned to use financing, if I was able to, you know, jump back in time and start over again, I probably wouldn't have bought anything free and clear. I probably would have financed, you know, everything so I could hold and control more properties.
Yeah. You know, that's a really good point too. Cause I feel like with rentals, if you only have a couple of properties, it's really kind of more risky. Like the more properties you have, the less risky it is, because you've got more streams of income. If you've got six properties or seven properties and one tenant doesn't pay, it's not that big of a deal. But if you only have one or two properties and someone doesn't pay, you're kind of dead in the water. So I think that's I think that's good. So if you were gonna get started today, you would definitely not buy anything free and clear. You would use probably 20% down payments.
I would go. What I would do is either do the 20% down payment, or I would burr everything.
Okay.
Because a lot of the properties we buy are cheaper properties, and the banks don't want to finance something at that, you know, at that price range.
Yeah. So tell me about your portfolio. What is your rental portfolio look like?
They're primarily two or three bedroom C class properties. They're kind of starter homes for the I'll say for the, you know, the working family. You know, mom and dad both work. There's probably a kid or two in the house. Just the, you know, your stereotypical American starter home.
Okay. Yep. Okay. Now talk to me about when you were getting started. I know that you were maybe a little bit, you were telling me before the show, you were a little bit too lenient sometimes with tenants. Tell me about how the pressure of having a mortgage payment actually made you a better landlord.
Yes. When you know you have to feed that note, it's a lot tougher to let stuff slide. You know, when everything's paid off and the only thing you're worried about is your insurance and your taxes, it's easier to you know, say, you know, well, you can get it to me next month, or, you know, you can pay half now and half later. But the problem is next month never comes, because if they can't manage their money now, they're not going to get better going down the line.
Yep. Let's talk about profitability, because at the end of the day, we're doing this to make a profit. We want to keep the most money in our pocket that we possibly can. Were you more profitable when you had three properties free and clear, or are you more profitable today having seven properties but having loans?
You're definitely more profitable with them paid off, but the problem is you can only grow so far. It's kind of like a today and tomorrow thing. The paid off stuff, you're more profitable today, but you're not going to be able to keep growing. At least we couldn't. And
right.
We wanted to keep on, you know, bigger and better. And I think right now that we're 5 years into it, that we're reaching that break even point where we're getting back to where as profitable where we were with it.
Right.
With the properties paid off.
So just to break that down for everybody, so that, like, when you're paying your mortgage payment every month, you're paying down that principal and you're getting these loans paid off. And in this case, you have a loan that it, was it a 5-year loan?
Yes.
Okay. So you've been making payments every month, that your rent payment comes in, you're making payments on it. And now this property is going to be paid off, where if you wouldn't have really had the opportunity to have this property paid off if you didn't have that mortgage.
Yes. Right. And the, you know, if you don't have the money, you can't buy it. And the having the loan, you know, you can get it, you get control of the property, you let the, you know, the equity pay down, and just keep on, you know,
yeah,
you keep on, yeah, chipping away.
Now, talk to me about when you were getting started. So I think this is an interesting lesson for everybody, that you, with your first property, you spent a lot of time and money on the rehab, and you maybe fixed it up a little bit more than you needed to. Tell me what happened.
We had the property was an old Victorian, had a gorgeous staircase, and we got hung up on making this oak staircase like the centerpiece for the house, and spent a week and a half stripping and sanding and refinishing. And with the level of house that we have, it really doesn't make a difference. That's not something that the tenants value. It's a basic house that, you know, they want to keep them warm and to, you know, be safe. But having the $1,000 refinishing on the staircase just didn't make sense.
Right, right. So, you know, it's like what a tenant wants is just a nice place to live, and those extra little finishes, it's not going to really add any value to them.
Well, I think the trap that's easy to fall in is over rehabbing the house for its price point.
Mm.
If that house would have been a flip, it definitely would have been worth stripping all the woodwork and doing period correct chandeliers and door, you know, lighting fixtures and doors. But with a starter home rental, it didn't make what we were able to ask for the house, you know, what we were able to get for the house each month, it didn't make that anymore.
Right.
And it just ate up a bunch of time.
Yep. Yep. And do you feel like you attracted better tenants having it be a little bit nicer, or were you able to maybe get a little bit more rent, or was there really no benefit at all?
I really think that there was really no benefit at all. It didn't, you know, it really wasn't, you know, our first tenants were, you know, a couple that were in their early 20s. And I don't think it really made a difference to them.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, the other thing that you figured out is that when you're buying rental properties, you don't need a great deal. A good deal is good enough. I mean, you really can make a pretty good portfolio for yourself if you just find good deals. Tell me about that. Like, did you pass on a lot of properties that would have worked out?
When we started looking at rentals, there was a bunch of foreclosures available, and I went into it thinking that you know, I can't leave any money on the table. I've got to get these for the absolute, you know, the bottom dollar, and you know, I let places go that I'd love to be able to find today for, you know, for a lot more money. I let them go for, you know, $1,000 or $2,000 because I couldn't squeeze every last penny out of it. And, you know, a lot of times in this real estate, a good deal is awesome. You know, you should mm-hmm. be happy with it and not be greedy, because good deals are hard to come by. And it's a shame to let a good deal go because it's not a great deal.
Right. I mean, yeah, to lose a deal over $1,000, I guess it's really kind of silly because you're going to make that back in rent in a very short period of time.
Yeah, it's a month's rent. I mean, right. It just, you know, to let a deal go over, you know, I'll say, you know, $5,000 or $6,000 is kind of silly in our market.
Right. Totally. And tell me also about interest-free credit cards. That a lot of times they may seem like a great way to finance repairs, but you think people should be careful.
Oh, that is a trap that's easy to fall into. And what we discovered was, you know, you can. It's real easy to get an interest-free, 12-month, 18-month credit card. And what happens, and never missing a payment on anything, you end up doing your rehab all on the credit card, and you run up the credit card. And then what happens is your credit score falls because now they look at your available credit, and you're using a large portion of that. So that makes it harder when you go to refinance the project to pay off the credit card and to move on to the next project.
Right. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, you want to be careful. I mean, credit cards can get you into a lot of trouble. So but what do you think? I mean, so after having properties free and clear, and after having mortgages like you do right now, like, do you want to have things free and clear again? Like, would you want to pay off your portfolio? Or as you get more money, do you think you want to continue to use down payments to continue to buy things?
I think we're going to continue forward, and we're always going to be heavily leveraged. I think it's the only way to beat the inflation game. I think it offers you a little more protection in the case of being sued. Mm-hmm. Because when you have stuff highly leveraged, you have debt, not assets. And it also allows you to keep growing.
Right. Now, I guess like the risk to being highly leveraged is if you have a big period of vacancy or you have a lot of tenants that don't pay, you can find yourself in a lot of trouble. Now, what we've just lived through or what we're living through with the pandemic is maybe the worst period we're ever going to find in our lifetime with tenants not paying. Did you have any tenants not pay?
We've had a tenant that was slow 1 month, and they are caught up, and knock on wood, we've been very fortunate.
Okay, awesome. So you feel comfortable, because I know like leverage has gotten a lot of people in trouble. We've had people on the show that have had a terrible time with leverage, that it got them into a lot of trouble. Does that ever, like, do you have any fear that maybe you could get in trouble with leverage, or do you think that if you do fall on tough times, that everything's probably going to work out in the long term?
Well, we make a point to budget in for reserves for repairs and vacancies, which I think is absolutely absolutely critical. And I like leverage, but I don't think you need to pull every last cent out of a property you can. You need to find where you're comfortable with the cash flow, where you can have those reserves and that safety net. And also having multiple properties, and what's the odds of them all, all being vacant, or right, all not being able to pay rent on a particular month.
Absolutely. Yeah. Like we talked about earlier, the safest place you can be is having a lot of rentals. The more rentals you have, the more streams of income you have, the safer you are, because they're not all going to dry up at the same time. Well, Chris, thank you so much for coming on the show. I think you've got a great business, and I think you're doing things right. If Chris inspired you and you're ready to buy your first rental, or you want to add to your portfolio, the lender that I recommend is Chaley Ridge from Ridge Lending Group. She's a nationwide lender, and she specializes in helping investors buy rental properties. She has a ton of different loan programs, and whatever your situation is, whatever you're trying to accomplish with your rental properties, Chaley can help you put together a plan and help you get there. If you want to set up a time to talk to Chaley, You can contact her at ridgelendinggroup.com. That's R-I-D-G-E, lendinggroup.com. If you mention Rental Income Podcast, she will waive all the pre-qualification fees. NMLS 42056. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe. We have new interviews every single Tuesday. And if you hit that subscribe button, you will be notified as soon as the next episode comes out. My name is Dan Lane, and this has been the Rental Income Podcast.